how should we respond to that? And I think what you see in chapter 15 is the proper response. Really a great chapter, because this is the song they sing, praising and honoring the Lord. And we're going to, you know, look at this and then eventually make some comments on how this ought to apply for us. Chapter 15, verses 1 to 12.
Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang the song to the Lord, and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them like chaff. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like the heat. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I'll pursue, I'll overtake, I'll divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praise, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. It's a good song. Worth going on. In verse 1, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. God is a great God, and the horse and its rider he's hurled into the sea. And what he does in this section in 1 through 12 is to look at the Lord in what he has done. Now, you might have other ways of looking at this, but it seems to me that we look at really two kinds of things in this. Who he is and what he did. Now, when we praise God, we really praise him for those two things. For who he is, you know, his qualities, his nature, and for the specific things that he has done. I think we go through that three times in this section. We look, first of all, at who he is in verses 2 and 3. Or even what he is, his nature. What do you see about God in verses 2 and 3? What is he to Moses?
Strength.
His strength, his
song,
and his salvation. And his God. Absolutely. You think about God in these qualities. He's our strength. He's our reason to sing. He is our salvation. He's our God. And we praise him. We extol him. He's a warrior. God is a soldier. That's not a good enough term. Warrior is better. And if we had something more exalted, it'd be better yet. He is a great warrior. He conquers his enemies. He gains victory after victory. So we're looking at the nature of God, and we praise him because of his greatness. But then in 4 and 5, we see specifically what he did. What did he do? Yes. He cast Pharaoh's chariots and army into the sea, and he drowned them. The deeps covered them. They went down in the depths like a stone. You might notice those similes, or metaphors, I forget which. Anyhow, like a stone. That you know, they went down. That's the way it was. So that shows you the power of God. It's an amazing force, and he drowned them like a stone. And then in 6 and 7, you see again God's nature, majestic in power, shattering the enemy. You know, he overthrows those who rise against him. He consumes his enemies in burning anger. It's the nature of God. It's his greatness. But in 8 through 10, you see what he did. What did he do? Well, at the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. You know, God snorted and they just opened up. You know, the waters were like a heap. They were like congealed. You know, I don't know how you congeal water. But that's what he did. You know, it's just like they froze. And let them pass through. Look at verse 9. What does the enemy say? What does the enemy say? I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide. My desire will be gratified. I will draw. My hand will destroy. 6 phrases. The enemy all saying, I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. And the Lord, you blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Only takes the Lord 3 phrases. They're bragging with 6. And all he really has to do, he blows and their history. Sank like lead. After all, the creation always sides with the Creator. You know, he always gets the wind and the waves and whatever else on his side. And then again in 11, who he is. Who is like you. You're unique, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders. And what he did in verse 12, you stretched out your right hand. You gotta watch the Lord's right hand. It's lethal. You know, and the earth swallowed them. So, 3 times he goes through who he is and what he did. And all of it in this song, this poem, in poetic fashion, praising and glorifying his great victory and his great person. That's an inspiring song. This one really ought to be, we ought to use this as a basis for a song. I don't know, if we got some songs on this. What do we have? Stephen got one? Cool. You know, this is great. All right, comments. Joe.
We sing about singing about the song of Moses and the Lamb.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. We really need to sing more directly in praise of God. Michael.
It's kind of funny how like this little pipsqueak over here. But he's a terrifying God. What he's done to them, he will do to his own people when they turn from his anger. God is very specific about service to him, what kind of a person that is, one of love, faith, and works. So many things that he's given us guidelines for, we ought to take him as seriously as the Egyptians should have taken.
Yeah, sometimes it may not seem as impressive because God has to do so little. You know, he just throws him in the sea. You know, he just snorts. He just blows the wind. He just stretches out his hand. I mean, it seems so simple for him. You know, do you ever see in the Bible where God worked up a sweat? You know, He just with great ease, you know, destroys them. It doesn't mean it's not impressive. It means God's got way power to spare, no matter who the enemy is. Justin.
I think verse 9 is very fitting on what the enemy says. It's very fitting of how Pharaoh has acted this whole time. It describes him incredibly well. And just in that verse, you know, he says, I, like 4 or 5, something like that, 4 or 5 times. And it just shows that real kind of prideful, high, mighty spirit that Pharaoh showed this whole time.
Yeah. And he ends up sinking like lead. Brigham.
The ease with which God accomplishes this kind of makes me appreciate how difficult it was to accomplish the exodus of the forgiveness of our sin. I mean, if here he just stretches out his arm, where you have Jesus stretching out both his arms on the cross and giving himself entirely, it really demanded the highest possible price ever. For us to have that
good point. Michael.
Just thinking, we have several musicians here, and the types of songs that people write, it's a pretty, it's a motivator that music is. It helps us keep going, and it really shows where our hearts are too, and how often maybe we think of this lyric might be good in a love song for so and so, but how many times do we think of writing a song like we see so many times in the scriptures for God to praise Him for who He is?
Yeah, we need more meat in our singing. You know, our natural tendency, I think, when we gather together and worship or sing or whatever, is to focus on ourselves. And you see a lot of focus in the Bible and in songs like this on the Lord. And so seeking to really worship and praise Him, focusing on one side, His nature and character, but also focusing on His great acts. I think that's something we probably don't praise Him enough for in song or prayer, to really think about the great things He has done and praise Him for that. How often do you hear a song or a prayer that talks about how what amazing things He did in the plagues, and the Exodus, and the parting of the Red Sea. And yet, that is how we praise people. You know, I don't know who's good anymore in sports. Who do people like these days? Drew Brees, he's doing pretty well. Who do we like? Peyton Manning, I don't know. Who? LeBron, okay. Now if we're a fan of LeBron, what do we say about it? Do we say, you know, LeBron is well skilled in basketball? You know, LeBron is he's really talented. He makes fine shots. You know, he gets a lot of rebounds. Aren't we as likely as anything to tell about something we saw him do? Did you see that play? Did you see what he did? You remember when he played so and so, and you know he scored however many, and you know he just schooled those guys. You know, or whatever. You know, we talk about specific things that impressed us. We do that with anybody in any area. You know, it's more than just extolling some abstract virtue. It's really thinking about the things they've done specifically that impress us so much. I think it's a good thing for us to do with God. To talk and think and praise Him and sing more praises to Him for the specific things He's done that just leave us speechless, you know, overwhelmed. And so this is great in this. You're coupling the nature of God with the great things He's done. You know, He drowned them and they went down like a stone. You know, he just blasted the waters into a heap. You know, and He blew His wind and the sea covered them. They sank like lead. He stretched out His hand and the earth swallowed them. You're seeing the great things He did and the ease with which He did it. Other thoughts? Dan?
I really see through Exodus, you know, this theme that you pointed out as far as who is the Lord, who is God. And we've learned through all these chapters of plagues and of God's deliverance of the people. We've been learning, and these people have been learning who the Lord is. And then finally they write this essay about it, and they kind of draw a conclusion to who the Lord is. And it's really neat to see this kind of come to a head now that they've realized, wow, this is a great God that we serve.
Amen.
And it's really interesting. Like today, we really like to we like to be double-minded. You know, for instance, the world is like a fan of someone, and they're like, oh, they're my number one fan, and then they get old, you know, and they're like, they want to do both sides. Like today is that. We like to be like, oh, God's my number one. He is amazing. He's done so many things. then we have to turn his back, then we have to serve him, then we have to serve our possessions. Like, oh, this is cell phone is awesome. We cannot do like this iPod, iPhone. We're showing God who we're showing God and the world. They can see us. We're showing God who we are really saying who is awesome by the time we use our time on like TV, iPhone. If we like use our TV, iPhones, iPods, whatever those techniques today, we use them like 24/7. And you just set this Bible on the dressers. You're not saying God is amazing. You're saying those technology is awesome more than God.
Yeah, and you might even think about the passion. Do we have more passion when we are describing LeBron shots or the Lord's accomplishments? You know, I mean, we ought to just be really impressed and excited about the great things the Lord has done. Other thoughts? Yes, Patrick.
I really like what you say. You know, it starts off, you know, when they ask who you are, what do I say? I mean, these are people who didn't know God. They've been totally separated from God for almost 400 years. And, you know, God uses an awesome, great displays of his power to show who he is and to remind the Israelites that to me, this is your God. And I think today, what is our powerful display? Jesus on the cross. That's just as powerful. And more powerful than all these things that we're seeing. And I think that this kind of blows my mind, that this awesome God who's able to split the seas, destroy it, Egypt, that same God hung on the cross. I think that's just an amazing thought.
Very good. Eric.
Just on this phrase that says, who is like you, majestic in holiness, the idea of the holiness of God is incredible. Like, there is no one like him. He's completely unique. And earlier when was said, you know, who was to say sent me, he said, I am. And we can't say, God is completely unique. You can't say, well, I'm like him or I'm like him. But I am. You know, I am who I am.
Yeah. There's no one to compare with the Lord. Absolutely, sir. All right, very good. I think this is a good time for us to break, to be able to go.